The Word of God we read this morning is Job chapter 19. The text we consider is Lord's Day 22, question and answer 57. And in connection with that, we read Job chapter 19. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced me up, hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops are come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pin and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." Thus far we read the Word of God. May God bless the reading of His Word. The text I call to your attention is Lord's Day 22 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body being raised by the power of Christ shall be reunited with my soul, made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Beloved people of God, believers, being rich in faith and rich in hope, are rich indeed. Job was rich. Job, even in Job chapter 19, was rich. Not materially. Chapter 19, Job had lost basically everything from a material and earthly point of view. He had lost his flocks. He had lost his servants. He lost his children. He lost his health. And according to the chapter we just read, he basically lost his friends. They were no comfort to him. And he lost also his wife, for she was no comfort to him. He was a stranger to everyone. Yet, in faith and in hope, Job was rich. He had not lost everything. He still has his faith. And therefore, he's able to say, I know by faith. That's verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job knows his Redeemer. Even though he's lost everything else, he has not lost his Redeemer. He embraces his Redeemer. He has yet the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is still rich. He still had hope. Not in this life. Job does not express that he has hope for earthly riches and prosperity. But he's looking to the future. He's looking to what's going to happen someday. He expresses his hope that his Redeemer will come. That his Redeemer will stand upon the earth. And that he, Job, though he may die, and he will die, he will rise again, and he will see his Redeemer. Job is able to say then here in chapter 19, I have everything. I have hope. I am rich. Don't you see then that if you are a believer, you are rich no matter what may come to you in this world. Though you may be poor in this world, you are still exceedingly rich. Think of what you have from a material point of view. Money. Family. Home. Even if you are rich, and you are rich only from a material point of view, you're poor because God can take all of those things away. But if you're rich spiritually in faith and in hope, then you are rich indeed, because every spiritual blessing that God has given you, He's given you now, and He never takes them away. Go back to Lord's Day 21. Isn't the church an everlasting gift? I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ, and that I am now and forever shall remain a living member thereof. God's given you that. The communion of saints, that's an eternal blessing and gift from God. God gives us the communion of saints and never takes that away. And the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, that's an eternal gift, an eternal spiritual gift of God. And now, in the Apostles' Creed, we confess that we believe the resurrection of the body. We have that hope, the resurrection of the body. What a beautiful, eternal, spiritual gift. This morning, let's consider that under this theme, the comfort of confessing the resurrection of the body. The comfort of confessing that resurrection, first of all, concerning our souls, we consider this morning. And then secondly, concerning our bodies. The comfort of confessing the resurrection of the body concerning the believer's soul, and then concerning the believer's body. Job confesses here in Job chapter 19, verse 26, the beautiful truth of the resurrection of the body. He confesses it from a personal point of view. Job is looking at himself and believes that he himself will one day partake in the resurrection of the body. That begins in verse 25, of course, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And then here's the confession of the resurrection of the body. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," that's death, "yet in my flesh shall I see God." There is the resurrection. This flesh shall die. This flesh shall be eaten by worms. But this flesh shall come to life again and see God. But that is not where we start this morning. Later on, I will explain the wonderful truth of the resurrection of the body. But we begin this morning with the hope of the resurrection of our souls. That's where the catechism begins this morning. "What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head." The Heidelberg Catechism reminds us this morning that the whole truth concerning the resurrection is broader than just the resurrection of the body. We believe in the resurrection of the body, yes, but we believe also in this, the resurrection of the soul. Let's take the broad truth of the resurrection. What is a resurrection? And the children know. Resurrection is something that is dead, risen again to life. That's a resurrection. Something that is dead, risen again to life. Only now let's add something to that. Resurrection, let's see this morning, is a victory. And even just defining the resurrection as something that was dead, rising to life, shows us there's victory here. It is death being swallowed up by life. Don't forget that. That's what makes the resurrection such a beautiful truth. It's not just a sequence of events. Something is dead and then it's living. But it is a victory. It is death being swallowed up by life. Death being conquered by life. A little later we will expand on the truth of Jesus' resurrection. And that's exactly what Jesus' resurrection was. It was leaving behind death and entering into eternal life. We have that hope of victory over death for the body, but also for the soul, the Catechism teaches us here this morning. Job, in Job 19, does not speak of this hope of the resurrection of the soul. But this morning, in order to understand the resurrection of the soul, let's use the language of Job 19. We may do that. Concerning the body, Job says, "The body will die. The body will rise so that in my flesh, that is in my body, I will see Christ." And now we say, concerning the soul, "Though I may die," the believer says, "in my soul, I will see Christ." This is certainly biblical. Though Job here in Job chapter 19 does not say, "When I die, and my body goes into the grave, and is eaten by worms and turns to dust, my soul is going to go to heaven." We know that is the truth from other passages of Scripture. Jesus gave this hope of the resurrection of the soul to the penitent thief. That man knew he was a sinner in Luke chapter 23. He knew that he deserved death and that he deserved judgment. In fact, he said that to the other thief. How can you mock Jesus Christ? How can you mock this innocent man when we are condemned justly and we are about to appear before the judgment seat of God? And that thief pleaded with Jesus, Lord, remember me. That was a cry for forgiveness. And Jesus said, here is your salvation. Today, you shall see me and be with me in paradise. That was not the hope for his body. That penitent thief's body would become lifeless, be buried in the grave that day, would not go to heaven. But Jesus Christ gave him the hope that his soul would be brought to heaven. This is the hope that we also receive from Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, we live for Christ, but to die is gain. And then two verses later in verse 23, he says, for me to depart, that is to go on in death, is far better. Because when you die, you go to be with Christ. And the apostle did not mean that that was going to happen for his body. He knew that when he died, his body would be placed in the grave. But he knew that his soul would depart from this earth and go to heaven to be with Christ. What a comfort. That's our concern this morning. What is the comfort? And confessing the truth of the resurrection of the body. This, first of all, that when I die as a believer, my soul goes immediately to heaven to be with Christ. The comfort, because that's not natural. When we die, our souls do not automatically separate from our bodies and fly off to heaven. At least, not by nature. Our souls, as well as our bodies, because of sin, are subject to death. We experience that already in this life. We confess in the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Days 2 and 3 that we are totally depraved. That means that though our bodies are living, our souls are dead. Don't ever say, Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, they didn't die immediately. That they only died when they were 900 some years old and were buried in the grave. No, they died immediately, spiritually. Their souls became subject to sin. They were slaves to sin. They were totally depraved. They were, according to the catechism, only able to hate God and the neighbor. They were dead spiritually. And if there was no intervention by God through Jesus Christ, their souls and our souls would perish eternally in hell because of the guilt of sin. Death is therefore a very sad reality. But thankfully, death for us is not sad as it could be if our souls went to hell. It's still sad, is it not? It is. Death is the end of earthly life, the end of earthly relationships. Not sad for the person who dies, though, only sad for those who are left here behind upon the earth. We weep. We weep because of the end of that relationship with grandfather or grandmother, or father or mother or brother or sister or friend in the faith. How sad. And in that weeping, we see the reality of death, and perhaps we even think of the coming of our own death. And it could be today yet. It could be tomorrow. And what will happen before then? Well, there are many uncertainties. Job experienced that. What will happen before death? Will you prosper? Will you have thousands of cattle and sheep and oxen? Will you have a great mansion, many servants, health, friends? Or before death, will you suffer poverty and want, the loss of friends and family? Will you be all alone? In the end, what happens before death doesn't really matter, does it? Because death comes. This life is over. Then what? We can look beyond this life. We can look past death as believers. And we can say, I know when I die, my soul will not go to hell. My soul will not perish everlastingly, but will go to heaven. Why? Because of Jesus. Notice the Catechism says, my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. Notice it does not say my soul will immediately go to be with Christ its head, but my soul will be taken up. My soul will be taken up by Christ, that means. My soul will go to heaven because of Christ, because He has paid for all of my sins, because He shed His blood, because He satisfied the wrath of God for all of my sins. I will be taken up in my soul immediately to heaven. You understand then that hope means that we look completely beyond this life. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure here upon this earth, because moth and rust destroy those things. And if they don't destroy those things first, death will destroy you so that the things of this earth have no meaning anymore for you. Therefore, the hope of those who store up treasures on earth, it vanishes in a moment at death. But Job and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have solid, firm, eternal hope. The hope that they will die, but be raised again to new eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you afraid of death? Does death worry you? Because death is the fearful last enemy. The word of God to you is, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You believe in Jesus Christ, you will live in your soul. That's comforting for us this morning. That is a glorious comfort. That at the moment of death, our souls go to heaven. But that's not the full comfort, nor is that the final comfort of the believer. The final comfort is the resurrection of our bodies. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism this morning does not ask what is the comfort concerning your soul after death, but the Catechism goes right to the comfort of the resurrection. And that's based on the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed does not express faith in the fact that our souls will go to heaven after death, but the Apostles' Creed expresses faith in the resurrection of the body. Because only then will the victory over death be complete. Now we experience already victory over death. And at the moment of our death, we will experience victory over death in our souls. But our bodies are still subject to death. That ugly last enemy of death rears its ugly head in our natural physical death. And we love, therefore, to confess the resurrection of the body. Because that's the confession of the complete victory of Jesus Christ and His life over death. We begin with Jesus Christ. Job did that in Job chapter 19. Before he confessed the truth of the resurrection in verse 25, he confessed the truth of his Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job lived about 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He lived at about the same time as Abraham, sometime after the flood, but also sometime before the Scriptures were written. Job did not read about Jesus Christ. He apparently did not live by Abraham. So we ask, how did Job know his Redeemer? And the answer to that, the best answer we can give, is that God providentially preserved the knowledge of salvation in Job's family. So that going back to Adam and Eve, going back to Noah, Job's family had heard about redemption and salvation from sin. Because Job knew something that Adam knew. He knew something that Abel knew. He knew about sacrifices. We read of that in Job chapter 1. Job, daily, thinking that his children had perhaps sinned, would offer sacrifices for his children. And those sacrifices, our children know, were pictures of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made on the cross of laying down His life for sin. Job knew Jesus Christ by faith and expressed his faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins through those sacrifices. Job believed that his Redeemer would come someday and stand upon the earth. Job did not know that he was going to come actually twice, perhaps. That there was going to be a first coming when he would be born and when he would die. And that there would be a second coming many years later. Job sees that all as one great coming, but he sees my Redeemer is coming. He believed that he, Job, would see his Redeemer. There is the resurrection of the body. In verse 26, Job speaks of the fearful effects and power of death over our bodies. It's a real description of death that we find here in Job 19, verse 26. Some would even say this description is gross. Body decaying in the grave, eaten by worms. That's what happens in the casket, in the grave, to the body. That's real. But even though Job sees the reality of death, he believes, and it's only faith that believes and sees the resurrection of the body. I know in this flesh, Job says, I will see my Redeemer. How did Job know that? How did he know about the Redeemer? We know. But how did he know that he would see Jesus Christ in his body? Well, there are two things especially that would tell Job that. Number one, when God created man not only a soul, but a body. And when man fell into sin, not only his soul became subject to sin, but his body. And so when Job speaks about redemption, he knows that God is going to fully redeem man. Not only his soul, but his body as well. Redemption is the whole man, for the whole man. But then Job probably also knew about Enoch. He'd heard from his parents and grandparents, perhaps. There's a man named Enoch who one day was not found upon the earth, not because he died, but because the Lord took him to heaven. And he's in heaven now in his soul and in his body. And Job believed, someday that's going to happen to me too. And so now, this is our comfort. The resurrection of the body. The catechism, like Job, starts with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We will be raised by the power of Christ, and our bodies will be like unto the glorious body of Christ. Jesus is first. Why is Jesus first? Jesus is first because He alone has power over death and life. We don't have that power. We know it. We experience that. John chapter 10, Jesus says that He is able to lay down His life and pick it up again. We don't have that power. We don't have the power to lay down our own lives or pick them up again. And we don't have the power to go to others and give them life again. We experience that when we go to the cemetery, stand over the grave of a loved one. And we can't speak to them. We cannot tell them to come forth out of the grave. Because death has power over us. And we do not have power over it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And in John chapter 5, verse 9, He says, God hath given to the Son the power to give life. And in Revelation chapter 1, He says He has the keys of death and the grave. He has the power to open the grave. And that's exactly why He died. And then rose again, so that in His resurrection He could throw open the door of the grave for His people. Jesus also had to be first, because He not only is the only one who has the power over death and life, but He's the only one who has the right. The right to go into the grave in death and to come out of the grave again in life. Because you understand, death is punishment for sin. Death has to do with the guilt of sin. Those who are guilty of sin deserve death. The power of death over you is sin. And death has power over you not because the devil ultimately holds you in sin and death. But death has power over us ultimately because that is the judgment of God. God is the one who says sinners will die. God is the one who says that guilty sinners deserve to die everlastingly. And the only way then for a sinner to go out of the grave is for that sinner to stand before God and say, I'm not guilty of sin. I'm perfectly righteous. I have the right then to leave death behind. And again, none of us has the right, the ability in ourselves to say to God, I'm not guilty. I have the right to leave death behind. No, that's what Jesus Christ had to do for us. Romans 4 verse 25 says He was delivered. He was nailed to the cross for our offenses, our sins. But there He fully paid for those sins. So that the rest of the verse in Romans 4 verse 25 says, He was raised again for our justification. He was raised again by God. God declaring that He had paid for sin. God saying, death therefore cannot hold you. Come out, He said to Jesus Christ. Because you have conquered sin. But Romans 4 verse 25 says, it was for our, not His, our justification. God declares that we are not guilty of sin. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. So that through Him, one day we will be able to say, as we leave the grave, we have the right in Jesus Christ to come out of the grave and conquer death. And so that's the truth of the resurrection of the body. We have the hope of the resurrection of our bodies through Jesus Christ. That He will come, as Job describes it here, in His second coming. He will stand bodily upon the earth. And as He says in John 5 verses 29 and 30, He will speak. And they that are in the grave will come forth. They that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation, but they that have done righteous to the resurrection of everlasting life. Jesus Christ will perform a great miracle. Think of it. Job's body by now it has completely decayed. The worms have done their work and eaten it up. But Jesus Christ is going to come and He's going to say, Job, with His powerful voice, Job, His creative voice, Job will come forth out of the grave. And so will all who belong to Jesus Christ. And what will their bodies be like? Well, the Catechism describes it. Like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Immortal. Incorruptible. Cannot be touched by death. Cannot be touched by sin. Spiritual, heavenly, a body reunited with the soul, fit for heaven and eternal life in glory. Beloved, this is our hope in Jesus Christ, that though we die, we'll see Him. We'll see Him in our souls after death when we go to heaven. We'll see Him in this flesh with these bodies after the resurrection. What a comfort. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the comfort of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only comfort in the face of the last enemy, death. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt teach us this morning not to look for comfort anywhere else, especially not in anything found here upon this earth, to place our comfort only and fully in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we have the hope of the resurrection of our souls and our bodies. In whose name we pray. Amen.